If you would, let's stand together. The book of Philippians. Did I tell you Philippians? But Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, and beginning at verse 13. Philippians 3, 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Are you glad that 2015 is over? For some of us, it was a rough year. For some of us, it was a struggle. Now, for some of you, it was a great year. I mean, maybe you got a raise at work, or you bought a new house or a new car, or you found $10,000 as you were walking down the road. I didn't hear about that, but, you know, maybe it happened. But for some, we want to forget those things which are behind. And Paul says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Folks, I think we ought to strive to have a great year at the Covenant Baptist Church. Now, if we're going to have a great year, what's going to have to happen is that all of us are going to have to make it a great year. And it begins even today. And it says, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keeping our eye on the goal. If you would, chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Dear Heavenly Father, help us this day to think on those things that are right and proper. Help us, Lord, not to allow discouragement into our hearts, but, Lord, to realize that we should press towards the mark of the high calling of God. Help us, Lord, this day to begin this year on a high note, and desiring to serve you faithfully throughout. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And please take your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. As we continue to think of some thoughts for 2016, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained what? A good report. Chapter 12, if you would please. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if you would, into the next book, the book of James, chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Press on. Point number one. We found it there in Philippians chapter 3. Press on. Don't quit. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Press on. Keep going. Don't get by the point, or get to the point where you say, I quit. That's enough. No more. Don't become discouraged. And sometimes that's easier said than done, but keep on keeping on. May I say this, don't put your eyes on fellow humans because they will disappoint you. Keep your eyes on the Lord, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's not get ahead of the Lord. Let's walk with the Lord. As Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? We must be in agreement with the Lord. And we must walk together. Press on. Don't quit. In the book of Philippians 4:8, it says, think on these things. We need to make sure that we don't have the stinking thinking that one of our former church members used to talk about. We need to make sure that we realize that God is in control and that we are to walk along knowing that He is taking care. In the Macomb Daily, December 27th, 2015, they had this article, 6 Simple Ideas for Living Happier in 2016, written by a Matt Johnson. I don't know if any of you saw the article. It caught my attention. 6 simple ideas. I like things simple. How many of you like things simple? Yes, hands all over the place. Things that are simple are a whole lot easier. Now, some people like to make things complicated. I like things to be simple. Number 1, make sleep a priority. 7 to 8 hours a night. 7 to 8 hours. Now, I know this. Some of you, you don't get 7 to 8 hours of sleep at night. Some of you get 10 to 12 hours. But Matt Johnson said, go to sleep with a positive attitude. Would you agree with that statement? Go to sleep with a positive attitude. For some of us, now I don't drink coffee. I was told by a teacher when I was in high school, I won't mention her name, maybe you know her, maybe she'll hear this someplace and I don't want to give her credit, undue credit. But I disliked this teacher so much in my senior year. She said, I guarantee if you go to college, you'll drink coffee. And I was so determined to prove her wrong, I got through college with ever drinking coffee. Of course, it helped that my mother always told me that I wasn't old enough to drink coffee. And at age 62, I'm still not old enough. But some of you, there comes a certain point in the day where you don't drink regular coffee anymore, right? Because you don't want to be, what shall we say, kept up all night. If I drink a Coke too late at night, man, you know how it is? You just get that wired feeling, and you just lay there in bed thinking, why'd I drink that Coke? Why'd I drink that Coke? Why'd I drink that Coke? But it's good to have a good night's sleep. Point number two, make time for family. Would you agree with that statement? If you're going to have a happier life, make time for family. According to Matt Johnson, over the last 20 years, family time has vanished. Sporting events, projects, work, and technology have swallowed this time. I had two sons. They were very involved in sports. You know how it is. They have school. They have everything that's going on. But I never considered when I went to watch them play a sporting activity that that was family time. That was the kids running around playing whatever game it was. And we were on the side. Hopefully it wasn't raining. And hopefully it wasn't too cold. But what is family time? Family time is sitting around together and maybe playing a game or talking. But what do you see today as the van drives by? Mother's on her cell phone. Kids in the back are on their cell phone or watching a movie or playing a game. We have stopped talking with each other. But we need family time. Again, he says, if your hobby is texting, checking social media, and or watching TV, this will set you up for a feeling of emptiness. These things are fine in short periods, but too much will take away what life is giving us. Family time. Number three, how many of you have heard this phrase, white space? Anybody heard that term, white space? I see three hands on this. Anybody on this side? One hand, two hands, three hands, four hands. So we got seven people in here that know of white space. You know what white space is? I'm going to tell you. White space is time you dedicate to yourself to refresh, unplug, and rejuvenate. You think it's good to unplug? May I encourage you parents, the cell phone that your teenager or kid may have, put it in the refrigerator. No, don't put it in the refrigerator. Put it in the kitchen so they can't hear it ding in the middle of the night. You go, oh, they got to hear it. Do they really got to hear it? No. We become slaves to it. Now, I'm going to talk just for a moment. This is Paul Madonna talking, okay? So I'm going to come down here. I remember listening to a mother. She said, oh, my kid has to have a cell phone. There might be an emergency while they're at school. Have you ever heard that excuse? That's why kids have to have cell phones. You know, I went to school from kindergarten through the 12th grade. I never know of one emergency. Never one. I went to college for 4 years. I didn't know of one emergency. So does that really stack up? My problem is not that kids have cell phones. My problem isn't that my wife has a smartphone and I have a dumb phone. The other day I met Lord and Taylor buying something, and the guy says, well, there's coupons. And I said, I don't have a coupon. He goes, show me your phone. I can get one. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. Then he says, well, give me your email address. I said, what if I don't have one? He says, okay, let's just do this. I could have given him yours, but I couldn't remember what it was. It's not that it's wrong to have cell phones, folks. Don't think I think it's wrong to have a cell phone. I just don't want us to become slaves to the cell phone. That's my concern, that we can become a slave. You say, well, no, it's not. Yes, it is. I tell you what, you want to prove you're not a slave? Put it away and don't use it the rest of the day. Don't look at it. You say, well, I can't do that. Then you're a slave. It has become so powerful that you cannot do it. Go 2 days without it. You go, oh, I got to have it for work. Okay, if you have to have it for work, use it for work, but go 2 days without it. I understand that people use their cell phones for work. How many people have seen someone, they've had 2 cell phones? Yeah, one's for work and one's their pleasure. Sure, but can we go 2 days without it? You say, Pastor Paul, what are you a slave to? Air, water, food, Donna. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. We don't want to become a slave to technology. As great as it is, it's amazing. I'm just flabbergasted by what we can get. But don't let it become so all-inclusive that it pushes out time with the Lord, that it pushes out time with your family, that it just takes total control. Number 4 is achieve a work-life balance so that you have time for family, that you have time for the Lord, that you have time for yourself. It's suggested that to have this work-life balance, that you take time to go to a gym, or that you walk in or at your house, or you walk in the neighborhood, that you take a dog for a walk. You can borrow Donna's. You can take Bandit, who walks the best on a leash, or you can take Casey, who wants to be 75 feet ahead of you. We don't let him be 75 feet ahead of us. Take time to get alone with the Lord. Do you know that you can talk to the Lord while you're walking a dog? Do you know that? That as you're out walking the dog, you can pray to the Lord and you can discuss things with the Lord. And I would encourage you to do this on a regular basis. That's why it's important to turn off the noise. Be it a telephone, be it the television, be it the internet, be it whatever electronics it might be, turn it off and spend time with the Lord. The Lord said, be still and know what? That I am God. Be still. Satan says, grab everything that makes noise and be happy. See, if you're always listening to noise, you don't have time for the Lord to speak to you. He says, proper fuel consumption. And it's not talking about cars. Proper diets, vitamins, supplements. I shouldn't dig a grave for me. My wife is going to use this against me later on. But do you think proper diets are important? Yes. Johnson encourages natural cod liver oil. I almost turned off the article right there. But he says it can be a game changer for your mental health. Natural cod liver oil. Does anybody in this room right now, will you be honest and tell us if you use natural cod liver oil? Anybody? I see one down here, a visitor uses it. A couple people in the back. I'm going to have to talk to you about that. Have you noticed the difference? Okay, well, very good. Embrace gratitude was number 6. You think it's important to have a heart of gratitude? Do you think sometimes as Americans we have become this entitled nation? I'm entitled to it. I deserve it. Be grateful. Remember the blessings that we have. Appreciate family and friends. Encourage others. Some thoughts as we begin 2016. But Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 talk about our faith. We need to exercise our faith. We need to be stronger believers at the end of 2016 than we are today. We should be growing in our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the best way to exercise your faith is to trust more. Trust that the Lord will be with you in 2016. As you give your offerings, as you give your tithes, yes, but as you give your time in the house of God. I've heard people say, well, I don't have time to go to church. May I say this, if you're too busy to go to church, you're too busy. Trust that you will be able to accomplish what needs to be done and go to church. Let's see our faith grow. In Hebrews 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, we need to keep following our Lord. We need to make sure that we are looking for His return. Now, I believe this, folks, that all you have to do is look at Israel and know that the Lord has a plan, and that plan may be coming to the end. We are finding that many things, are, and maybe all things, are ready for His return. He tells us again and again, I'm coming. I'm coming for you. He's coming again. Pastor Dave Holliman writes, sin blinds our spiritual eyes, hardens our hearts, makes our emotions callous, and our spirits unteachable. Sin makes our spirits unteachable. Hebrews talks about removing that sin that so easily besets us. We need to make sure that we are in a right relationship with our Lord. Looking unto Jesus. How important it is that we have a right relationship with our Lord. James chapter 2 talks about faith and works versus standalone faith. And which is right? May I say this? We need to make sure that our faith is seen in what we do. Let me give you an illustration. How many of you are Detroit Piston fans? You like the Detroit Pistons, and you would say you are a Detroit Piston fan. Would you raise your hand? I see three hands. Nobody over here is a Detroit Piston fan? Nobody. Okay. Well, what if I told you that I am a diehard Piston fan? And you began to ask me questions. The first question would be, Pastor Paul, how many t-shirts do you have of the Detroit Pistons? Well, I have two Piston t-shirts from the Bad Boy days. Do you remember the Bad Boys? Bill Laimbeer, Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Vinnie Johnson. Do you remember those guys? I've got two t-shirts from back then. Okay. Pastor Paul, can you name the Detroit Pistons today? I do believe they have someone named Reggie Jackson. Is that right? A Reggie Jackson? The reason I remember that is there was some Reggie Jackson that used to play baseball. And there's some guy named, oh, it was just there. Drummond. I know those two guys. But I am a diehard Piston fan. Do you believe I'm a diehard Piston fan? I can't even name you the coach. Well, Pastor Paul, well, when was the last time you went to a Detroit Piston game? When the Flemings gave me two tickets. It was the day that they said that that new guy that used to play for the Wolverines was going to join their team. I can't remember that guy's name. He's the one that called timeout in the final four. What was his name? Weber. That's the last time I was at a Piston game. But I am a diehard Piston fan. Do you believe me? Well, Pastor Paul, if you haven't gone to the game, we know it's kind of expensive. When was the last time you watched a Detroit Piston basketball game? I mean, you were watched the game. You just didn't flick there during a commercial. When was the last time you watched a game? Well, Isaiah Thomas. No, I actually saw it when they had Shreed Wallace. Was that his name? Rasheed Wallace. I did see a game back then. Well, Pastor Paul, You don't watch the games. You don't go to the games. You don't know the players' names. You don't wear their T-shirts. Are you really sure you're a fan? Would you say I'm a fan? No, you'd say you're lying. How do people know if you're a born-again believer? If we don't know anything about the Word of God, if we don't go to the church, if we're not willing to be part of the church, can you really say that you are a fan of the Lord's? See, it's by what we do that people can see that we are indeed someone that is a follower of Christ. Let me ask you this. Of the 12 disciples, Judas went out and hung himself. How many of the 11 disciples that were left were martyred for the faith? 10 of them were martyred for the faith. John, they say, history reports that he was boiled in oil, but he survived. And he was banished to the Isle of Patmos. Do you see the difference between the Christians then and the Christians today? Today we're offended if we ask you to come out on a Sunday night. The early Christians died for the faith. They were martyred. They were willing to do whatever it took to promote the cause of Christ. See, one of the problems we have in America today is we have too much Christianity. Now you say, well, what are you talking about? Because everybody's a Christian. That's what they say, isn't it? If I die, I'm going to heaven. One of the worst things that can happen on television, you're watching, and some grandmother dies, some mother dies, and they tell the kid or the grandkid, well, they're in heaven now. But they never explain how they got to heaven. Can your good works get you to heaven? Your good works cannot get you to heaven. But your good works tell people that you know how to get to heaven and you've accepted the Lord as Savior. You should be willing to walk a life that shows that Christ is important to you. My wife and I have been married 42 and a half years. If I were to ask you, can any of you give me a reason that you know that I love Donna? I would hope you could all stand up and say, you do this for her, you do this for her. If nothing else, the fact that she has 3 dogs. Do you think I'd have 3 dogs in my house? But you know I love her because of what I do for her, right? Do we people know that you love the Lord? Do they know that you care for Him? If you would, in conclusion. Do you like that word, conclusion? James chapter 4, verse 17. This is one of those verses that if you read it and you take it to heart, it will stir us. But most of us will just glance over it and say, oh, good, I got done with chapter 4. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Shall we stand together? Pastor Vance Havner wrote the book, Why Can't Christians Just Be Christians? As we have the invitation time and as we ponder 2016, do you want to be a better Christian in 2016 than you were in 2015? Do you want people to know that you are a Bible-believing Christian? Are we willing to make a difference? Joel writes, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. We need to make the right decisions for the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that this invitation time that you would touch hearts and you convict us, Lord. And may the Spirit move. And Lord, if there is by chance one here that has never accepted thee as Savior, may this be the day that they do so. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.